It's making me nervous, y'all all sitting in the back of the room. All these chairs.
This isn't church.
I'm very proud to be a Baptist.
There you go.
Well, you was always a front row.
All right, sure. Go ahead and start. It is 1:30. And we will go ahead and start. So it's notice hereby given. The Commission Court of Orange County, Texas will hold a workshop session on Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025 at 1:30 p.m. in the Commission Court room of the Orange County Admin Building. Workshop session purpose, discussion and consideration regarding the reclassification request according to policy number 240 of the Orange County Policy Manual. The Human Resources Department will submit the reclassifications to the Commissioner's Court. We should all have our copies that were sent in within the time frame. So, we're ready to go. Ms. Lori?
Ready to go. So, I gave y'all all a summary of the request, and I thought we would just go down, start with the first summary down. I mean, the first one on the summary. Are y'all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one that we're going to start with is the Transportation Department. And this is the, this is Janelle. Janelle is asking for the director of the Transportation Department to go from an E1 to an E2. And I'm going to let Janelle take it from there. So, Janelle, you want to go to the podium?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be better that way than get there.
I've never done this before, so I don't know what.
Well, and I'll say this, just to kind of calm the whole room down. It's kind of new for everybody. I don't know that we've, I don't think anybody in the room's ever done this. I think this is new for everybody. So let's all take a deep breath. We're all family in here. Nobody's going to hurt anybody.
Yeah, have I ever told you about my dysfunctional family? Everybody come talk.
Yeah. It's all new for everybody. So let's all just kind of take a deep breath, and we all know everybody, so don't be nervous, Janelle. You just start out, and you're going to set the standard.
Well, that is not a good...
So if you can't talk us into it, nobody else can either.
Well, obviously... with the adding of the OCAA in March and the Jasper thing is, you know, two of my big points. The other thing is when I took this position, I didn't think it was going to be as busy as it was because I trained under the previous supervisor before she ever left. And there's several things that have been added and done differently, creating a whole lot more work. The first thing that was added that never had been done before or even addressed was our drug and alcohol program has a major audit every 3 years, and it takes months and months to prepare for it. It's required by FTA and TxDOT as a part of or condition of our funding, and if we don't pass it, then there's severe consequences if we don't correct our issues and stay corrected with them. It's very, very involved. So that is a major thing that I think needed to be addressed in this court because I don't know how involved y'all know that it really is. The other thing is since... Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but to that point, I don't know anything about that audit. So when you say okay. It takes months,
so
what kind of time frame?
FTA and TxDOT fund our program. Y'all know that. As a condition of the grant... we're required to satisfy a drug and alcohol program where we have to know the drug and alcohol program, the rules and regulations. We have to, that will come in and ask us, I mean, there's a manual about this thick, random questions out of that manual, and you have to know them and how you would handle them. There's a conference every year that I've tried to go to since COVID, but they fill up so fast you can't hardly get into them. You have to do your paperwork. You have this report that's called a DAMIS report every year in February that outlines all your pre-employment, your post-accidents, your random drug test, and you have to report them. And if their paperwork's not right, then you have to know to correct it because if they come in and find that you didn't find that mistake, then you get a hickey on that.
And that came about after you took the position?
There never were audits before I took the position. None of the previous supervisors. I have no idea. I have no idea. I do know that when I took over, there was a supervisor over me. Her name now is Anna. The lady before was Dee. She passed away unexpectedly. And since Anna, I've had two of these audits. So I don't know if it's something that just got overlooked. I really don't know. But I've had two of these, and next year I'll have another one. And they start in March. And I usually have my audit in August because it takes that long to prepare. And they give your findings usually somewhere November, December-ish. Whatever they find that you've done wrong through that audit, you have to correct. You have to write memo after memo after memo for every little hickey that you get and justify where you found the answer for what you didn't know at that point.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on that? So that's really, really involved. The other thing is since I took over, the accident requirements have increased. Now, when I first took over, the Planning Commission carried all of our insurance on the vehicles, and they bought the vehicles. Since then, they've changed and made the county be responsible for carrying the insurance. So now not only do I have to report accidents to the Planning Commission, showing what happened to the bus because they own it, I have to also do it with the county. The county is much more involved now than it was. I just had to let them know that I had a incident, and that we were going to be taking on somebody for a post-accident report. That's all that the county was involved with until they took over the insurance. Then it got to be more. So that's increased. I go out, and y'all know this, I can't come to court sometimes because of it. I go out and I drive. My work ethic won't let me not go out and help our clients when we're shorthanded with drivers. My choices are go out and drive or cancel rides. I cancel rides, all of y'all are going to get complaints. So I try my best not to do that unless it's absolutely necessary. None of the other supervisors ever did anything like that. Also, since I've come, I've added a security system because we're out there by ourselves a lot. And in the middle of the night, the alarm will go off, requiring me to get up and go turn it off and meet the sheriff's office to go through the building. I just think that my work ethic, my dependability, and my dedication to my job is a big factor in considering this request.
How many employees did we have in transportation when you started?
Actually all of my employees when I first started were part-time. And then COVID knocked that down bad. That's where the problem started with being so short-handed is COVID. And since COVID, I can't keep people. I don't have enough to cover things. That's why we started going with, I started with raises, trying to entice people. Then I started with trying to get full-time employees. I now have four full-time drivers. I have four full-time dispatchers. That comes with everybody wanting vacation, so now you got to cover those shifts. That's why when I requested, when we got OCAA, I was going to ask for another full-time employee. And I got to thinking, oh gosh, I got to deal with more vacation. I can't afford that. So I backed that off to the part-time people because it's one thing after the other that y'all know, you can't cover shifts sometimes. People are sick all at the same time, you know. I have four full-time dispatchers, four full-time drivers, and a full-time mechanic. And myself and my sister are all the full-time people in our office. I have 12 part-time drivers employed right now. And I think, Lori, don't I have maybe five vacancies at the moment? With that said, I have three of my part-time people out on sick leave. One's in the hospital right now. One had hip replacement surgery. Had one just resign last month. So, I mean, it's just not never ending. You find two employees and you lose two employees. So you just can't ever catch up.
You said you had a separate thing?
Pardon?
You said
secretary?
No, my assistant. Yeah, the assistant director.
So all these work every day, just days.
Yeah, my full-time people work either 6:30 to 3:30 or 8 to 5. I have an opening shift and I have a closing shift. I don't feel like, and this is just my personal preference, I don't feel like a part-time person should be responsible for opening and closing a department. I think that your full-time people should do that and your part-time people should be there to help.
When you say full-time, dispatchers, is that
mm-hmm.
One of those is located in Jasper, right? We'll be dispatching from here, but we've got the drivers up there.
We are. We have a dispatcher in Jasper working out of her home. We got a cell phone for her just for that number. And I gave her my laptop to do the software up there. And then I have one driver. They work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Should any of them not be there? Well, if she's not there, I can untoggle the phone and answer from our office and dispatch from our office.
Is that one of the four?
No, she's part-time.
You got four here and one in Jasper dispatcher?
Yes. I have two part-time dispatchers, vacancies, and I have, I think, five.
Five
driver vacancies. And then the two positions up in Jasper are full. Yes. That is intended to be an 18-month project, but we've had lots of requests that we can't fulfill for outside the city limits. So I feel like they're going to expand that if they continue it.
Yeah, you knew that was
coming. Yeah, I thought that's what they were going to do to begin with.
Yes, but
well, we're not going to come to it. I mean, we agreed to do it. I mean, if they expand after they have to fund it. I mean, it's going to come to just like this one is. But I'm sure that at some point that would probably roll back to Jasper County.
That would be my full intent. If it got
so
busy.
It's a pilot program. When would you anticipate, if it works and everybody wants to continue with this, when do you think it would roll over and come out from underneath?
I think we probably know whenever they do their budget. Their budget is September 1st to August 31st, and they're in the middle of doing their budget right now. As a matter of fact, I should be getting numbers here soon because they have to have it finalized, I think, by the end of the month.
It's an 18-month program. We just started.
So I knew we did, but
probably wouldn't be decided until next cycle.
So it couldn't come back out from underneath you until...
Yeah, at least one full cycle.
Yes. So I anticipate once they see how it does or doesn't do, they'll make a recommendation for it to start somewhere else, I'm hoping, after December of 26.
They can always transfer that contract over to a new contractor if they find one.
Correct. Correct. We just agreed to start it for them.
Yeah. So you started out here with no full-time employees, just part-time employees.
Correct.
And you've gone from...
No, when you came, you had an assistant, a mechanic.
And that's it.
And that's it. The rest were part-time drivers.
So 2 to 7.
And we went from, and we, as we added on the full-time positions, we just lowered the number of part-time positions.
Correct.
Offset that.
Correct.
Right. So you're still managing the same amount of people.
Yeah. Well, yes, same amount of work.
I think part of the problem with part-time was they couldn't get to Beaumont and back in the same shift. Some issues, if I remember.
Part of the problem with part-time is the competition with the school buses. We couldn't, you know, you couldn't. When I first took this job, they were making $8.76 an hour. Then they went to 10, then they went to 12, and now they're at 14 since I've been here. And I'm still struggling to get people at $14 an hour because it's part-time. You can't support a family on $14 an hour with the maximum of 29 hours a week, with no benefits other than, young people don't see retirement as a benefit. They want insurance. And I can't do insurance on part-time people.
Well, they get retirement taken out of that 14.
Pardon? Yes, they do.
They get retirement taken out of that 14.
Yes, they do.
And so, there's not any other. So, decisions aren't made here. This is just everybody presenting their cases on what they want.
So okay.
Through the rest of the budget process, and look at it in detail. When you looked at the current matrix that we've had, and because pretty much what I've told everybody, when you look at that matrix and you look at the job qualifications that are in an E1 level, and you're going to go to an E2, right? And you look at those E2 level job qualifications, what in that E2 level is what you're doing now?
Can
you point to some of those E2 level? Because that's how that whoever designed this thing at the beginning, that's how they designed it. Right, wrong, or indifferent is what we have to work with right now. And so when we're looking at a reclassification or redoing something, then those jobs to, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but just because you're working more doesn't qualify it. It's what are you doing different that's in that E2 level that you're not, that you weren't doing in E1. So, because to go up to an E2 or a P1 to a P2
right.
or whatever, you have to have those qualifications into that next level job, and, okay. and that's the justification for us to have that we have to consider.
Okay.
Because I got 400 some odd people that can tell me they're working more today than they did yesterday. So.
Okay.
And it fits. I mean, it's true. So.
Well, so I think it's hard to say that. Because there's not like a list, and I think LaDonna and I have talked about it.
Yes.
So in the county, it's kind of hard to say because it's hard to compare apple to apple, and I think that's where we're all going to get as we go through it. It's hard to compare my job with Kirk's job because we're both E2s. Because what I do and what Kirk does is a whole different animal.
But
you don't want me in charge of the buildings, and you don't want Kurt in charge of HR.
No.
And you might not want me in charge of HR after all this. I don't know. But I think it's going to be hard because there's not something written down that says what E2s meet and what E1s meet.
Right.
So
all I had was
who's in.
But you're going to have to demonstrate.
All we have is a classification title chart that shows who is an E2 and who is an E1.
Yeah, that's all I had to go by.
Anything that's classified like that. So I don't know how we would do it that way.
If your duties haven't measurably changed.
Right. This is only showing that your duties have considerably changed from what you were classified as.
I thought we had something that showed like...
Well, the job postings do, and I updated the job posting to reflect what I actually do.
We need to create one.
We've never had that because it's so hard to do that because they're so different. Like, all E2s are different. It's me, Kurt, Michelle Carroll's in that. Missy Pillsbury's in that. So all our jobs are so different. I don't know how you would be descriptors in E2.
Well, then how would we ever reclassify somebody if we didn't have some kind of description in there?
The reclassification is based on that they were classified in E1, and she's saying that her job duties have changed drastically from what she was doing.
Right, and to the judge's point, if we're going to ask, if you were at this level, if you're at E1, and you have to hit these qualifications to get to E2, what are those qualifications? If they're not, then we can't say that. If we don't have that. We can't make that determination. Like you said, you can't quantify it.
The job posting update that I did for you and sent to you, does that not help list what transportation is? I can't speak for any other department.
Well,
but
so
I did
you,
update
you
mine.
Just send in a job description of what your old job description was or what your new job description is. I don't think that you sent that in.
Oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to do that. I've been so busy with this Jasper thing.
We're all new at this.
I know.
Yeah. So
I think, and also a list of duties you're doing that you weren't doing when you got to that level, you know.
And you know, this goes for everybody in the room. Nobody's questioning the job y'all did.
Right.
We fully understand and appreciate.
Yes.
Any other questions? I'll let the next person come back. All right, that was it.
Thank you.
Okay, the second one was elections, and that's Don, elections administrator, going from E1 to E2.
Hello. So I did want to start out by clarifying the first part of the letter and the assistant's pay. And that just basically comes from the extensive amount of overtime hours that our department, you know, sometimes it could be well over 800 in a year. And, you know, I definitely, without a doubt, you know, to understand as department head has to work all of that. But then I try to watch their overtime and their comp time and try to keep them within the limits and what we have there. And they kept out very quickly. And so I have to spread that through all of the elections in the year. And sometimes it could be up to 5 elections. So that is what I meant on that first part, even though it may not have clearly come across that way. Sorry about that. And then, so to go on with the extra duties, when we went to countywide polling, which it's great for everyone, and everyone loves it, it did add on a lot of...
Not everyone.
There's a couple of people that don't like it.
Even though they should, but not everyone.
Okay. You're right. Sorry about that.
All of us.
A lot of the voters and everyone here at the county do love it. So when we did go on to countywide, all of the entities do contract with us now to stay within the countywide and to use all of the equipment. So prior to countywide, each entity would format or design their own ballot. So now that we're countywide and I have to order and all of such of the ballots, I have to do the formatting of all entities' ballots for the general and May elections. Primary too, when they want me to. And I guess I just mean that by this coming primary coming up. I don't know how that's going to work. So, and then with the precinct counters, the DS-200s, and all of the election equipment, they have to do a completion of certification on all of the electronic equipment and prepare voter turnout numbers to the Secretary of State after each election. So, and then addition to the countywide and the extra duties with that, don't get me wrong, I love it. I do love countywide. We also have to perform hash validations on the equipment, and that's just a software validation on the equipment, and that has to be done every election before they go out. Also, reconciliation reports, which is at the end of election night and the 6 days after. It's just comparing your numbers and making sure that your ballot count comes out and matches your voters that were checked in. And the chain of custody, which is a big portion of elections now, it's kind of pretty much taken over. It's just sealing everything up, following the piece of equipment once it leaves the office. It gets programmed, it gets sealed, It has to be tracked. It's every movement till it comes back after the election. I know it probably doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a really huge puzzle. All of the election workers through early voting and election day have to keep track of their chain of custody on a daily basis from the time they get there to the time they leave. And then the cast vote record was something that was added also. And so it's report that is ran after election that does the face of the ballot. And so if anyone was to write on their ballot, then you would have to go back and redact all of the information because it is a public document for anyone to see.
So I guess the question that I would have or that is the amount of time, because of all the election cycles that we have, the amount of time outside normal working hours they're getting paid overtime for. And how many of those hours do you work yourself? All of them, some of them, you know what I'm saying? So if they're working, you're working. So
I'm working.
If they're working 600-800 hours of overtime, that they're being paid for.
Yes, sir.
You're working 600 hours of overtime that you're not being paid for.
Yes, sir. Yes. I'm just that department head. I just feel responsible. I don't leave.
Yeah.
They're there, I'm there.
The difference comes maybe in some of that and looking at it is how, because most of us, even though we may be working harder and doing more, but we're doing it within the confines of 8 hours
a day. I do, yeah.
Elections right. Doesn't have that luxury to do that because elections don't take place from here to the day for 8 hours and mm-hmm. counting and all that kind of stuff.
Now, is that every year or every other year you think those numbers I'm sure.
Well, they do fluctuate a little bit because on even number years we have 5 elections and on odd number year we have 3.
Okay. So let's say that even the 3 election year, what would that overtime basically look like, that amount of time for you look like? Outside of the normal deal for the 3 election year?
I think, are you talking about like hours?
Yes.
Okay, so for even number year, I think it came up to a little over 800, and on the odd number year, it came up to a little over 5.
So, Judge, when, you know, in a management position, sometimes you're expected to work some overtime. Is there a way, when it exceeds a certain number of hours, that we could kick in overtime?
Well, that's kind of what I've been tossing around since we got this. I don't know, and I actually talked to Don about it a little bit, that, you know, during a time of disaster, our salary is going because they're under disaster, and they get paid for those hours then. We don't do that in normal process of working, and this is one of those, probably the only job I know of in the county that's like that, to that level.
Yeah.
So I don't know how we would fit that differently. Yeah, I mean, I would think there's supposed to be something we can do, but that you get credit for the hours of what you're doing somehow. And I don't know that. I mean, I looked at what if you just went, if you went from the exempt level down, and would it add up? But it doesn't add up. But I don't know. I mean, I think that's a policy change that we would have to look at to do that.
I don't know how hard that would be to implement, but it seems like management is expected to work some hours of overtime, but not the amount that you work. And once it got above a certain level, that overtime would kick in. It would make sense to them. I don't know if it's legal.
She's not shaking her head yes or no. Or she's in there.
She's not giving
two, two I don't know how hard or if we have the capability of implementing that or how much what it would take to get that implemented. You know, because everything, since I've been on this court, every time you think something's simple, it's not as simple as you think it is. And mm-hmm. So I don't know if we can actually implement it. But it seems to be...
Well, the policy is ours to set. The pay structure is ours to set. So,
I think there needs to be some discussion about
yes.
all that.
For what you're talking about with her, would probably be much easier to track, being that somebody's going to be there with her,
yeah.
and we
yeah.
have to pay overtime to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to be there by herself.
So mm-hmm. you would
no tax on overtime.
Just,
that might be
but,
way.
I'm not saying these numbers are right, but this is an example. So. You could expect that a man's employee is expected to work 10 hours overtime a week. And when it exceeds that 10 hours, then your overtime would kick in. And so something like that structure, maybe not necessarily those numbers, but something like that structure seems to be what needs to happen here.
Like Lori's saying, we need to look at that across the whole county.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have other positions that fit that possibility.
Yeah.
Except for the chief. That never happened to the chief.
There's a lot of people that say
that. He's back there smiling. I said, don't smile that big, chief.
Also, with the Senate Bill 2753, you know, trying to, well, that did pass, but that hasn't been implemented, and, you know, don't have a date on that. You know, that's just totally different hours, how they close the gap. So we've never worked with it like that, and I really anticipate it to be, I'm not going to say a huge number of more overtime hours, but I look for it to be
night in between early voting closing and the election day. The next day could be a long night.
Yeah, I look for it to be a little bit longer, definitely.
Depends how many people actually vote on election day, because I wouldn't vote on election day. I'd make sure I voted early. Sure.
Yeah, but there will be people.
Yeah.
If it's two, it's the same amount that you have to be there on time.
But basically, you didn't get that report has to be uploaded to the state and get it back before the next morning.
Yes, which, you know, sometimes at night that, you know, I mean, that does take, like, you know, you have to wait for your turn because so many counties are allocated to one person. You have to wait your turn. They call you. You have to give the numbers. Then they call them back. It takes a couple of hours once, you know, you think we're all done, but... Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They
responsible for the overtime also?
Yes, sir.
It all goes. Yeah. I mean, all of that is reimbursed through us, through all the overtime hours that the regular employees get. It's just her position that doesn't get that.
And then
the other entities would pay if there was some kind of a... we had it structured in, but there's no structure for that kind of thing.
Yes, but they pay for all that. And then they give us a percentage on top. Is that it?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next one is the Sheriff's Office. Chief Howard.
He's all smiling now, Johnny. You ain't got him all.
Thank you for coming, Chief.
I'm only asking for one thing.
Next.
Did you? Were you at the other hearing?
Yeah,
I was.
Yeah, when you asked for a whole lot.
Well, I was one big figure. I mean, just one number.
One big figure.
This is a clerical position. It's the records clerk, and he is asking to go from any one to any three. This is a non-exempt position.
And I believe he can help me out with this, Lori. This is a position that was initially filled by the person that sits up in front, the receptionist. So that was an NE1 position initially whenever they put that position back, and then they had a part-time position as the receptionist. Now that's a full-time position. So we're just basically looking at the whole job in total, and this job is a very critical position that we need a specialized employee. Not only that they do a lot of different work like categorizing or maintaining jail records or preparing UCR work for DPS, for maintaining legal and sensitive records, I think the biggest part of their job now is public information request. That's not even the job description, and that's one of their jobs now. So that's the reason we're asking for advancement or reclassification from NE1 to NE3 because of the expertise or the specialization of the job itself. And we're probably running somewhere around 75 to 80 public information requests a month.
One person or more than
one? Well, we decentralized the operation that we have now. It's come from the divisions, but one person is still responsible gathering that information and sending it where it needs to go, and that's going to be the records clerk.
So, this is probably another question for here, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Are we billing people for some of these requests that take man hours to pull together the menu? On this public information request, are we billing people for the man hours it takes to pull some of that information?
I handle the legal side. I have nothing to do with billing. I don't know who they bill and who they don't.
Okay.
On the hours, no. We haven't been doing it. We've been billing for. I believe there's been a recent judge opinion that says that we can. And we have to do some research in it.
There are strict statutory limitations on what can be charged under PIA. It's the government code and the administrative code limits what counties can charge for.
It just seems.
It's much less than it should be.
For another day.
But I mean, it's an extreme critical position. The reclassification would help us hire a person that could be qualified for the position, and they can understand everything that they need to do in that specialized position.
Is there someone in that position there?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So since this request has been put in, the person in the position has resigned. Is that right? So
that is correct.
You have not hired.
No, it's unfilled.
How long has the position been open?
Since just July 3rd.
Just this month.
Prior to this person that resigned, how long was somebody there?
She was in it in the last administration, right?
Maybe Susan.
Yeah. I'm not sure Susan how long knows she
did. She thinks she knows everything.
Was it hard to fill the position for when she hired in into the position? Was it a long time when nobody was?
Well, it's kind of an entry-level position at this. It's a clerical.
Or was it?
It was, yeah, and we really need it to be a specialized position because we need to hire somebody that can really do the job.
Well, who was doing these other responsibilities before that position got appointed?
That I'm not for sure. Are you talking about the public information?
Any of the stuff. That position had all these things added to it. Who was doing these things before? These are brand new things that you're responsible for doing now. Or was this stuff that someone else is doing and she's taking on that responsibility?
I believe that's going to be the latter. I mean, I'm not really for sure. You know, Susan? Yeah, I wasn't here for the last 5 years. But I think what's happened is that it's just been giving different records clerks different jobs to do. So the more automation, the more work that the government or the state government comes down for us to do, we're trying to divide those jobs out. And now we're to the point where we're not only doing that, dividing those jobs out to the different record clerks, but we have a lot more public information requests. And those can be extremely complicated in the way that they're handled. And we got to make sure we do it right because we're required to do them within 10 days. If we don't do them within 10 days and get them right, then we fall under the AG rules when we don't do it.
How many do you think you're getting a month?
About 78 to 80. Last month, I think we got 78.
That's a pretty solid average.
Yes, sir.
All good things that come from the state that they like us to have to do that they don't ever pay us to do.
And the other part of it, we definitely need someone that can understand automation. The more we automate in the sheriff's office, the more we need specialized individuals to do that.
Questions?
One day, Chief, you're going to step up here and look a lot more comfortable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got me wearing my, Pine Forest Baptist Church clothes up here.
Follow Richard Howard, but that's quite the act to follow.
I'm sure you can put on a performance.
I've seen you.
Have you? I don't think you've really seen me.
We're not in trouble here.
You're not? No, you haven't really. You hadn't seen me get really upset about anything.
I don't know. I think I've seen a couple of times. I've been on Channel 12 News.
Oh, have you now?
Not great.
They like, you just never know they're back there filming you, believe me.
Oh. Yeah. Okay, so, yes, I'm here today to reclassify our office manager from NE4 to NE5. I will say this, you know, I know everybody's here that's never done this before. Obviously, I haven't either. I'm in that group with everybody else. But it's my understanding that our office, the DA's office, has not requested any reclassification, certainly within the last 20, I've been here 24 years, and we have not requested any reclassification at all during that period of time. And I will tell you this, that our office has changed significantly in the last 25 years. You know, laws have changed, automation, y'all are hearing a lot about that, digitalization. We have a lot of CJIS requirements, which is the Criminal Justice Information System that we're all required, you know, to be certified on, and we have to pass background checks and all that sort of thing. So many things have changed over the past 25 years, and the main thing being the role of our office manager and the duties of our office manager. I think I did prepare an old job description. I did my best. I kind of went back, and I did some research. I made some contacts. I called some people that were in the office and that held that position before. When I started 24 years ago, Ruthie Hannigan was our office manager. And then she was our office manager, and I don't know, for many years. And then Linda Smith took over when Ruthie retired. Interestingly, you know, Ruthie had a lot of responsibilities, but one thing that did change over the years is the grand jury. I think Kimbrough ended up hiring Linda Smith actually to handle all the grand jury responsibilities because, you know, there's quite a lot to that. And so she was hired just to be the grand jury coordinator. Well, our office manager currently, Casey, she is our grand jury coordinator in addition to all of the other things that she did. So Ruthie, and when Linda was office manager, she did not handle grand jury. So Ruthie and Linda, they did not have that the grand jury responsibilities as office manager. And I think that you have those before you. I hope you do. I certainly have learned since I've taken over grand jury, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I had no idea what all went into it. I mean, I knew what my part was, but there's a lot of behind the scenes on that. So that's a huge thing that Casey does that neither Ruthie nor Linda did as office manager. So let's see. She also handles all the governor's warrants and federal writs, like if we have somebody in federal prison and we need them back in Orange County, either as a witness in a case or because they have a felony case pending, she handles that to get those prisoners back, and that is new to the office manager position, and that takes quite a bit of work. I think they have to do 6 originals on that to get that done. Also, she handles the governor's warrants. So if we have a defendant, felony, usually, most 99.9% of the time, felony case, and they're arrested in another state, and they don't waive extradition, then it's Casey's responsibility to coordinate with the governor's offices in order to follow this process, in order to get that defendant back. And of course, there are time restraints on that as well, so she handles that. Which is very important. We also have added a pretrial diversion program in the last several years. I think we added that maybe around the time that Kate, she's been in our office manager for 6.5 years. So I think we've probably had the pretrial diversion program. She handles that program. It's not a whole lot of work, but it is something that she does have to manage as far as requests for pretrial diversion that come in from attorneys for their clients, keeping track of those, getting those to me, and then, as you know, once we have our committee determine whether we're going to agree to a pretrial diversion or tentatively agree to that, then it goes back to her, and she coordinates with the defense lawyer on those cases. So that's just an added responsibility, although not huge, but it is certainly an added responsibility. Also, you know, I think a lot of the different departments have started e-filing. That's new. And I will tell you this, you know, we think automation is great and wonderful and it saves time,
This e-filing, especially with respect to the grand jury indictments, has been a complete nightmare for Casey. It has added hours onto what she has to do in order to get things filed with the district clerk's office. So we may have, when we start a new grand jury, we may have, like last time we had like 7 cases, and we'll maybe have 15 or 16 next time. But once we get rolling, we're going to have 25 to 30 to 35 cases each time. And so whenever, and she's got to coordinate all that. She's got to get all the officers scheduled. She's got to get the grand jurors scheduled. She's got to get the cases pulled, prepared, all the things for grand jury. And it takes a lot of work. But then, even before that, she has to go, and that's another thing that's extremely time-consuming, is that she has to provide the DPS codes to the district clerk's office, because they can't take a case, they can't file a case through their office without that DPS code. And so all of this relates, I know y'all are kind of like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? But all this relates back. Everything goes back to criminal histories. And so that's the CJIS that, I was talking about, the Criminal Justice Information System. But it all goes back to that. And so that's a huge responsibility, in that it has to be right. It has to be right. So a defendant's, their information, if it's wrong, it could either be to their benefit or their detriment, but we certainly don't want it to be to their detriment. But anyway, we have to provide DPS codes on each case individually to the district clerk's office before we can get those cases filed with them.
How long has this position been doing that now?
That's new. That's since the e-filing, like the DPS codes and the e-filing. That's just within the last, probably since Casey's been around. It's not long. It's not long at all that she's been doing that. But that has been, quite a lot for her. So those are some big, major things. This is not really a big thing, but, kind of one difference is that they, since I started, they did add a county court. So, we've added an attorney. That's been years ago, obviously. But that's something that wasn't, that we only had, 7 attorneys at that time versus 8. It's not that much more, but it's a little bit different. That's all the time. And she coordinates everybody. She handles everybody's vacation, travel, training, the whole bit, which I know there are a lot of other employees across the county that have those same responsibilities as well. But, we have added, with automation comes extra responsibility, not less. For
Casey.
Been here
for a couple of years now, and every year we talk about buying more software is going to make things better, and this is going to help, and that's going to help, and it just seems like it's bogging everybody down.
It does. I will say, one good thing that has, just to say that, our iCrime Fighter, that's been great since we've had that, the last few years. That's really helped as far as electronic discovery. I don't think it really helps Casey any at all as the office manager, but it's been, a lot less paper has been nice, and Stacy, who's our intake desk, has done an amazing job with that. But I will have to say, it's required a lot more from her as far as understanding the system, making it work efficiently, and she's done that. But so that really doesn't count for Casey. But my point is, it's not the same office it was 25 years ago, and so I also know I've looked at some of the different offices, and I haven't studied exactly what each person does that's in NE5 in the different offices, but I think there are several offices that are our size that have NE5s, maybe more than one, and we don't have an NE5. We do not have an NE5 in our office, so she would be the only NE5, and I think, that's certainly that position merits the reclassification to the NE5. So, any questions?
Yes, what do the legal secretaries do?
So, they do a lot of different things. So, we have 3 felony legal secretaries, okay? And they are responsible for each one of the felony courts. So, we have one in the 163rd, one in the 260th, and one in the 128th. And each one of those is responsible for kind of the calendar for that attorney in that court, and also for all doing all the paperwork. So the felony judgments in that case, which may be a judgment and sentence where somebody pleads guilty and goes directly to prison. And so that's pretty simple.
Let me rephrase my question.
Yeah.
Does she evidently delegates work?
She does delegate, yes.
So none of this work you've been talking about go to any legal service?
It has in the past. Some of it has. Not the full bit of it. So we had Kim Kane, who was the secretary for the 260th, was also doing some of the grand jury stuff for a while. She's retired. She's gone. And so we filled that position. And so we have not given any of those responsibilities yet. However, they have other responsibilities. So in addition to what their court is, just the paperwork for their court, they each have different responsibilities. Like, for example, Rhonda, who is the secretary for the 163rd, handles all the hot checks and the restitution. She does a lot of that. Not all of it, but a lot of it. I think she takes them in. If somebody comes to the window, she'll kind of handle that, like to take care of that. She takes them in is what she does.
You're not asking for them to go leave up on.
No.
Just one.
I'm asking for one person. One position.
If she has seven legal secretaries,
uh-huh.
She don't delegate all this work you're talking about.
They already have.
All seven of them are always...
Yes.
Too busy to do anything that she
yes.
delegates.
They are, yes, they stay busy with, like I said, with their judgments, and they also have additional responsibilities like expunctions and non-disclosures, and those are some of the things that they have to deal with as well. I know. I know, and that's,
that might take 2 minutes or it might take 2 hours. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a lot. I would really like for y'all to come and see exactly how we do and what we do in our office, because
that's the reason we've had a conversation.
Right, exactly. You've had that conversation. I'm ready for you to come. And like you said, what day of the week is best? Who knows? Because, another thing, we never know what's going to happen day to day. Is somebody going to, shoot somebody on the street, murder them, and we need to walk a warrant through, or aggravated sexual assault, we got to walk a warrant. You never know what it's going to be from day to day. Some days are insane. Jury days. Yesterday was crazy. Yesterday morning, we got a jury panel, so everybody has to come together. All hands on deck. We got to get ready for the jury. So there's a lot that goes on in our office, and I'd be proud for y'all to come and see what we do. And, we're kind of limping along right now as we've got two positions open, prosecutor positions, which I can't get anybody. I'm doing my best to fill those. So, but we're, like I said, we're all hands on deck. We're making it work to the best of our ability. I'm proud of our team. I couldn't have a better team. And
you could have more of them.
I could have more of them. And, right.
I don't know if we told you. We love us some Denise.
I know you do. We love Denise, too. And, but the thing of it is, we've got two.
No, we love her more.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we do.
I got news. I got a felony position that, that we're trying to, manage that court.
Hang on a second. You hear what she's
saying?
Sorry,
I heard.
You hear what she just said?
I did.
Yeah. Let's just nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the point is I would be proud for y'all to come and see how we work. We're the largest law firm in Orange County. We are.
We know. We see the cost.
We are. Well,
it's valid.
Compare it to one in Jefferson County of a civil law firm. You compare that cost. They're getting paid a whole lot more.
Yeah, I wish I had their budget.
Yeah, I do too. But anyway, like I said,
thank you.
I appreciate it. And like I said, I hope that y'all will consider our request. Favorably.
I can assure you it will be considered.
Thank you. Favorably.
And hello to you, Miss Bonnie.
Our next one is our treasurer, Christy Corian. She's got two requests.
Please state your name.
Please state your name. Where are you from?
I mean, Christy Rockford. I'm sorry.
Christy Corian Rockford.
I'm sorry.
Depending on if we're running for election.
Y'all,
I emailed these already, but I didn't know.
Probably in the packet. So.
Yep. Yes.
First of all, thank y'all for giving us the opportunity to come in and present. Oh, she said, I've already got clearance. She said she can.
You got clearance.
But thank y'all for letting us present these. I'm going to start off by saying I think everybody in the county, I'm sure, has extra duties, because I think, with the legislation and all those regulations. I think it kind of filters from one department down to another. The first request is for my, well, it's a chief deputy now, to change to the assistant treasurer. And it's more, I feel like, to align with positions on the matrix, just for the statutorial requirements. This position, they have to take the oath of office, and they have to be bonded just like I am, because they are the treasurer in my absence. And I know we've had a position hired in that was placed at any 6 because of their statutorial duties. But so this position, I mean, I can list them. That I asked for a job description, but that position is so old. I mean, she's been in that position for so long, I don't even think they have one in the fall. You know, like I said, this position is it's over payroll. She stays up with the IRS, the Department of Labor, all the regulations that go through that, the software, which I'm sure y'all are very aware of, the software that we deal with, which it requires the W-2s, it requires programming the overtime. When we went with Tyler, we were probably one of the first counties or one of the first counties that implemented Tyler. And when they did the conversion, there was a lot of things that they converted that probably would have been different if they would have had more knowledge. Just like, I mean, and the reason I'm saying that is just because of the overtime alone. They can't even, when we had the disaster pay, when we had to go in and change how we paid overtime for disaster pay, Tyler couldn't even figure out how it was programmed in there. So we've basically had to take that on and do that. And like I said, that one's more mainly just to, I think, align with the matrix with her statutorial duties.
And that position right now has been here for 20 years?
Yes, 22 maybe. I mean, the position has been here a lot longer.
Right, but the person in that position. Right.
And
one of the things that I'm looking at, and I'm listening, like when Crispin was up here speaking, I'm not sure how the county can ever get the money really where it needs to be for everybody, but at some point, some of these positions like this, and like Kirk's, for example, the Mesquite, if we don't at some point start trying to get these up, we're not going to be able to replace them. We're going to struggle to replace them.
And it's hard because I know y'all struggle with bringing people in, hiring people, and so you try to hire them in at the level that you think they should be. So it's been so long that this position's been looked at, but I just kind of feel like, you know, people have been moved in, and just to kind of get it where I think it would be even level is that's my request. Now, do you have any questions on that one?
I'm
you want
good
me
on
keep
that
going?
One. Okay. Saying, are you ready? Can you go your next one?
My next one, I'm asking for that position to be moved from an NE3 to an NE4. And this is based on additional reasons. So most everything we do in our office is on a time restraint. I mean, from the, you know, workers' comp reports, unemployment reports, everything has to be in on time, even the state reports. Just like the state reports that we just filed today on the wires, just in the service fees that we saved from filing on time was $30,000. So it's very important that we get those reports filed and we get them in on time for that reason alone. But they have to be accurate too, of course. This position, so we don't fight, but there's a lot of times where, okay, well, my office with payroll, they can only take vacation every other week. They're not allowed to take weeks kind of, you know, that's asking a lot, but they know that when they come in. You know, if you're working in payroll, you know, payroll week, you can't take off. So in saying that, I have, you know, this position right here, you know, we're looking for reports and stuff that we have to have to get our stuff out on time. You know, and you call and they're on vacation and, you know, they'll get it when they get back. Sometimes, you know, we can't do that. So I've made it a priority that this position works both jobs. So this position backs up payroll, during payroll, but she also takes care of the front desk and closes out and does that when the other one's on vacation. so she's literally doing both positions. Also, she goes in every morning, and it's an added requirement that I get her to go in and check the bank every morning, which I think we have 61, 62 accounts. She goes in to check the previous day, make sure that there's nothing else trying to clear. I mean, you know, the fraud that we have going on, okay? And she also pulls collateral every morning because since I've been in office, if you wait and get your collateral report, you get it the end of the month, where there could be days where we had heavy balances that we didn't have accurate collateral cover. So she goes in and she pulls that every day. So that's an added job on that desk. I'm sure there's more that I'm leaving out for that position. Do y'all have any questions so far on that position? And of course the JPs, not picking on the JPs at all.
Now that they left.
There's still one here.
I see him too sneak out of the back a minute ago.
So that's another issue that we have with, as far as the software goes, because our JPs, I mean, we take those reports and most everything from those reports, that's where our fines and fees come from. We get those reports, we have to take those reports and then we have to rekey them. We key them in the software because they don't flow through. We have two different softwares. Well, the county clerk and the district clerk, the district clerk went live today. And they are converting to Tyler, but it's not going to, they didn't, for whatever reason, it's not going to convert over to the financial side. They said it was an extra cost, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
always financial.
They opted not to get that feature. But anyway, so... So that's another thing with the JPs, you know, we have to take their reports that they've done, bring them over to our office, and then we rekey them, which of course leaves you for and all that. So she literally wants this desk, once it's keyed in on the cashier side, then she takes those reports, pulls them, and puts them on an Excel spreadsheet to make sure that what we've keyed in matches what the JP sent, so we're not missing any fines and fees that need to go to the state. And I'm sure there's a lot more that I haven't hit on. But.
So just as a question, and you may not have the answer to that, but on that software update that those two don't read each other, because
mm-hmm.
there was additional cost. What was the additional cost?
I do not know.
Curious to know why we wouldn't do it.
Why we wouldn't have opted into that. And I didn't even know until we had a meeting and they were talking about going live, and we were actually, the auditor and I, we went in because it was to set up like the bank stuff and all that. And I asked them, they're like, no, it's not going to flow through to the financials because it was a separate, it was a separate package they had to buy to do the conversion from one to the other.
Does it have the capability, and we didn't buy the software, or it just doesn't have the capability?
I don't think it has the capability.
Okay.
A good question to ask, because I know there's other counties that they could literally, from financials, pull the report,
mm-hmm.
and they've got a report on their state fees.
I want to say we did ask, but I have to check.
Yeah, and I do know that there was a fee involved and you know, it might not have been within the budget. I don't know. I'm not sure, but it's definitely something.
You know, it's kind of one of those things. Is if it was a $100,000 additional cost, then yeah, we probably would do it. If it was a $5,000 additional cost, then
but
why wouldn't we kind of?
There's
so
been
I would
nothing.
Need to know. No,
yeah.
None.
There's been nothing cheap with Tyler.
I can't get my phone software package for $5,000.
Yeah, Tyler has not had any.
Be interesting to know that cost.
Yes, curious. Yep. If it's even capable.
It was my understanding that Tyler Judicial did not start out as Tyler. Mm-hmm. I believe they bought.
They bought that program.
That company out, and so
competition.
That might be the reason why.
That's how you eliminate it, isn't it?
Okay.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Yeah, I might be wrong, but that's what I remember.
Did y'all go live today? Yeah. Any other questions for her on the assistant payroll part? Assistant. Thank you. Next.
Maintenance. The future HR director.
He just walks out.
Yeah, he just walks out.
He just walked out, yeah.
I do what Lori does, just walk out.
So I have one suggestion for the court in the future. Consider a 25-year column in the matrix. Okay, that takes care of that. The other thing is to take the yard maintenance, any three, to change it to any five. Maintenance tech. He's already doing the work. That's all I got.
Right, but you're eliminating the NE3.
That would be correct.
If we were to do this, then it would be an NE5 with the technical skills that go with an NE5 level.
That's correct.
Any testing with that or just?
No, he's already doing the work now.
What is an NE5?
A maintenance tech. He does electrical, air conditioning, plumbing.
Pretty much whatever.
Yeah, what all the other guys are doing.
Bottom line is, we started contracting out mowing.
Well, we actually mow FEMA buyback property, but who's ever at work when we have to go mow, it doesn't matter who it is. We just go mow the grass. We don't consider the classification.
So it gives you another multi-skill guy that can do whatever.
That's it.
Your department has become more construction than it has maintenance.
Yeah.
I'm glad you recognize that, sir.
So I'm going to recognize that even more in a couple of weeks.
So how... That suggestion I made about the 12 contractors in the budget workshop, okay. No, I'm just keeping this short and sweet. That's all I got. Oh, go sit down. I am done.
Appreciate your time.
Yeah, I mean, we're done. Unless you
okay. No, I don't have anything. I just want to keep it short and sweet. Okay, thanks.
So, and I just want everybody to kind of understand, look, if I took all 400 and however many people we got, I lose track every day because it changes. There is nobody in this county that's making what they're worth. I'm going to tell you, okay? They're just not. Any given job in here could go into the private sector and make more money tomorrow, every day, and we know that. But we are limited to a budget that we get from the taxpayer and limited to a budget that the state allows us to have by controlling the tax rate that we get to charge. Currently, right now, we thought we had skated, and I'm just going to be as open and honest as I know how to be, and frank, but we had got through first session without them touching the tax revenue bill. They tried to go to the zero rate tax, which is a death blow to counties and cities as well, but in the governor's new session that started yesterday, that is back on the agenda, and I will tell you what a zero rate tax rate means, pure and simple. We're cutting people. We're cutting benefits. Because I got to find $1.4 million. Because that's what it would cost to do today. To do that again next year without any additional money, that's what it costs that much more money. So we got to find $1.4 million in the building. And the only way to find that is you cut stuff. There's no two
I'll
ways around
it.
Yeah, no, you'll get to cut that. But I mean, for whatever reason, the state has determined that county government is the big evil, and they want to keep putting that on the agenda. So that is that's what we face. Hopefully, they leave it alone. It gets beat down again, and you know, we're certainly working the especially the House of Representatives side, because the Senate has already passed it. They think it's the best thing ever is to take us to a zero rate. So without an election, which who's going to vote to give themselves a tax increase? Nobody. And then, you know, and so when we're looking at things like this, when we're looking at raises, whatever it is, it's not that we don't want to do them, and so they don't justify being done. But I got to have the money. We got to. That's our job up here, is to find that money to be able to do that and to spread it out as evenly as we possibly can, if we have some to do it with. I don't know what the state's going to do. We, like I said, we were certainly hoping that it was done. We thought we had passed it this session because they did. They closed out the last session and it got voted down. But it's back as one of his top 10 during this special session. So we don't know. We won't know for 4 weeks, honestly. But it's more to do with that. It's never, these decisions are never made because we don't think that so and so qualifies for that job level or that pay level or whatever it is. You know, and I can say 99.9% of the people here qualify and justify so for whatever the next pay level that they should actually be paid for. But at the end of the day, I've got so much money that I can get and so much money that I can get from the taxpayers, and that's all there is. And so that's how we have to fit it in there. And then and that's our job, is to try to figure that out. And in a very shrinking budget year, you know, the state is really great about passing down mandate things that they want us to do.
As you all know,
but they don't send a check with it. We look for those checks pretty regular, and so I just want everybody to know that it's not. It's if some of these get done and some of them don't get done, it's not because we don't agree with what's being said. We just got to weigh out where we can do the best fit with the money, and try to make it best fit.
And keep in mind also, the judge has got to put out a preliminary budget before this session of the state will end.
At the end of this month, in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think 2 months.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a guessing game until we actually get some final numbers.
So that's kind of where we're at with it. We're doing the steps necessary to be able to do it. Like I said, depending on what they're going to let us do and what they're going to put on us. I can tell you, if you have any conversation with any of your state reps, your senators, which our senator's leaving anyway, so... we don't know about our state rep yet, but I can promise you need to be calling them, tell them, because if they do this, it is going to be a bad deal. It's going to be bad all the way around.
Even citizens and friends, y'all's. I mean, yeah. If you hear people talking about how we all need to be adopting the no new revenue rate, explain to them what that means to them.
Yeah.
What that means to y'all's jobs.
Yeah. Well, it's less roads, it's less maintenance, it's
services.
Less everything.
What it means to services. You know?
Yeah, because that's all we provide is a service. You know. Short of road and bridge, which we do build a few roads, but or maintain a few roads, but we don't build widgets, we don't sell widgets. We take the tax dollar in and try to provide a service with it, and those services cost money, and y'all cost money, and y'all are well worth every dollar of it, and probably more than what we can give you. But you know, we still have to work within those parameters. So I don't want anybody to take it personally if you don't get what you think you want or what you think you deserve, because it's not that we don't want to do it, we just may not be able to do it. And that's kind of my disclaimer for the day.
Come back next year if you don't.
Yeah, you know. It's a never ending battle to do this. And like I said, we are, you know, all the judges that I work with on a pretty regular basis, well, all the time, we're all beating the same door up in Austin trying to get them to leave it alone and leave the tax revenue rate alone. Right now we're capped at 3.5%, which is minimal. I will tell you it's minimal. If somebody can... I know they keep saying that all the inflation has stopped. We haven't really seen a whole lot of that yet in our insurance rates, because that's where the majority of that money comes from. You want to know where the $1.4 million comes from? That is the things like insurance. You know, we have 90-some-odd buildings that we have to insure. We have 200 vehicles we have to insure. We have 400-some-odd employees and another 200 retirees. You add all of those increases up, plus our software packages, which are horrible, but our software increases every year, and that comes out to about $1.4 million, give or take $100,000 here or there, to maintain what we're doing today. And that means we want to make sure that we can still pay 100% of our insurance for our employees and the 60-40 on our, you know, spouses and our family. And but that... There's a cost that goes with that, and it goes up every single year. Our insurance on our buildings is about 18% a year. Cars is about the same. You know, it doesn't take long. That sounds like a lot of money, but it doesn't take long to get there.
Crispin, how long have your jobs been posted that you need, the two prosecutors you need?
We posted one at the beginning of February, And then just recently we added a misdemeanor position because we lost one of our misdemeanor prosecutors.
So since February, how many applicants have you had for that position?
One.
And didn't we make a change in that one at that time to try to make an adjustment? The first one, the February one.
The felony?
Yeah, to try to get something more.
I wouldn't say that we made a change in it, but it might be a situation that if I can find someone that's got some experience, and, you know, we may have to kind of adjust that on that like we've done, you know, sometime before.
Yeah.
But I've had one.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with that. We applied for a county engineer. We got zero. Well, we did get one, but he wasn't even remotely qualified. God bless him.
I've not had any for the felony position.
Our superintendent for Road and Bridge is another position.
Yeah.
It's been out for over 2 weeks now, and the only people that have applied have been internal. We haven't had an outside applicant yet.
Well,
basically, everything's kind of underpaid, but how do you fix it when you've only got this little bitty pie to take the money out of?
You know, the Sheriff's Department as well, I think they have multiple positions open. They added the SB 22 money, thinking that, you know, the state did, but
right.
It's still not enough.
It's still not enough. I mean, we're not competitive.
Unless it affects their retirement, they don't seem to like to want to fund it a whole lot. But if it affects their retirement account, they'll sure put some money in there.
Yeah, they'll put some money there. But, I mean, anyway, that's it, and I just want everybody to know. But that's the deal that we're working from, isn't it? We don't want to do something. I mean, you know, I've got positions here that whenever we look at them and we try to figure out where we need to be, and I think we did a little bit last year, and we tried to figure out if we were trying to get everybody where we thought they needed to be, even remotely close to what they should be, that it would cost the county about $4 million. I mean, I don't have that. I'm just telling you, I don't have that. We don't have that. We can't go up in tax rate. Matter of fact, we're probably going to be forced to go down in tax rate again this year because where we see a lot of growth, we see a lot of great stuff, and it's happening. But all it's doing is keeping us afloat is at that 3.5% rate. But that 3.5% rate keeps making us go down in tax rate, you know, because we have to recap it. If we could realize all of our growth that we had, we would be in great shape. But I will tell you this, we're in a lot better shape than most counties, because there are counties out there that's not growing at all, and they still have the same problem we have, and they have no money. I'm glad I'm not them. But if the state does what it wants to do or is trying to do and gets to that zero rate tax rate across the board, it's going to be painful across the state. And it'll be painful for several years before they figure out that they made a mistake and fix it, if they fix it. But I can tell you the conversations we've had with a lot of them up there, it's falling on deaf ears. We just got to hope that...
campaign reform.
Yeah, we got to hope that that they get so busy talking about the other stuff that happened in the last few weeks that it consumes all their time and they don't even have time to maybe get to that point. Who knows?
And hope they don't call another special.
But anyway, that's all I had. I just wanted to kind of let everybody know that's the deal. Because I know people come here and every person that got up and spoke makes a valid point. They do on what they need. All right. Any other stuff? Any other thoughts, concerns?
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you all for being here, and thank you all for the work.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you for what you do for Kenneth.
All right. We will adjourn at 2:49.